Just a small town girl living in a nerdy world listens to a podcast about tech tools. Just an engineer who wonders what she'll build this year listens to a podcast about tech tools. Typing, searching, looking through a Twitter feed for the next big thing that will be used. But there's always one resource that she can turn to. It's Tools Day, the podcast about tools.
Applause, well done.
I feel like that one could actually be...
You can make that a full song. It'd be perfectly fine.
That could, like, legit be our intro.
Well, hang on. We can't do that. The fans demand new songs every week.
They do. You know? Welcome back to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about
Windows.
Windows. Windows, as in the operating system called Windows. So basically what had happened was I got sent an awesome Surface Book from Microsoft.
It's fine.
Chris is so sad about this. Chris, just be sassy during the show. We'll see what we can do. Just keep the sass.
Okay, great,
up.
Great,
I love
good.
It. Okay, so I was sent this to like test out a development environment and like kind of get feedback and see what it's like and try to like convert all my open source projects I've been working on with this. I started using it for some of my work projects as well, which was kind of cool because I got to write a bunch of documentation that didn't exist for Windows for my company because it's not something that people normally have. They usually are on Linux or Mac OS. And I've been using a Mac for 6 years now. So,
wow.
Yeah. It isn't even that long. I was really a holdout for a while.
I went through the cycle where, you know, in high school and prior, I was on that bandwagon. They'd be like, never Macs. Apples are the worst thing in the world. Only a stupid person would ever buy a Mac. Look at the price. And then I went to college, I bought a Mac. I'm like, Macs are great, Windows sucks. And then I graduated college. Now I actually use both every day. So,
I think it's good. So many people were disappointed in the last Apple update.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hardware was honestly not exciting.
It was
kind of bad.
Have you tried out the new MacBook Pros?
No.
Okay, so they have this touch bar at the very top of the keyboard. And I have a lot of strong opinions about this, and I've kind of ranted about this on Twitter before. I'm one of those guys who I've been in the Apple Store and I've sold somebody a Mac, and I don't work at the Apple Store. I was in the Apple Store and felt so passionate about my MacBook Pro that I sold somebody a Mac. But like they've done some things to the MacBook Pro where they've removed the function keys and the escape key. It's now a context-sensitive touch bar, which is kind of interesting, but it kind of breaks, at least as a developer, my norm of that I'd never look at my hands. I look at the screen the entire time. And so in order to use the touch bar, you have to, you know, stop what you're doing, look down, make sure you're touching the right place. There's no tactile feedback.
Yeah.
And then the keyboard on the MacBook Pros, new MacBook Pros, it's like the new MacBooks. So they've changed the keyboard, and I'm a person who has a mechanical keyboard at home. So I'm one of those people, and that new keyboard strikes me the wrong way. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. I don't care as much about the keyboard, but I don't like the feature, like you were saying about the touch bar. And also they took away the headphone jack. They took away all these like USB plugins. So it kind of was not great. I really do love the hardware of this Surface Book. So the Surface Book that I have, there's only one. Like, there's not like a series of different iterations. Iterations are the space and like the RAM and stuff. I have a 512 gigabyte with 16 is gigabytes, right?
You have 512 gigabytes of flash drive, it's SSD, and then 16 gigabytes RAM.
Yeah, that.
don't worry, I'm here. I haven't even seen her computer before. I'm just assuming that's what's happening.
That's what I was saying. I was getting to it. So what I really love about it, like initially, I love that there's this like facial recognition feature. When you open it up, it detects your face, like it, whatever, it's facial recognition. It's so nice because you don't have to type anything in. It just like, it works really well. If you wear glasses and sometimes don't wear glasses, you have to take like two photos because that was me and like it would recognize me with or without. But that was fine. I really love this favorite feature of it. You can remove the screen, which is super cool and super nice, and just use it as a tablet. Like the majority of the computer lies in the screen itself, and the only thing that's in the keyboard is another battery and also a better graphics processor. So you can like take the screen off, switch it around, have your better graphics processor, but like have like tablet mode. You can write in the screen, draw on it. This is something that like Apple is missing, and it's so frustrating because having that has just been such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Like the ability to touch the screen, and not just that, like I feel so much more creative now that I have a Surface Book. Like I just want to constantly be drawing on it. And I'm not the only person that Microsoft sent these to. They also sent them to, like Sean Larkin just got one, and he's just been annotating the Webpack, like docs and code now. And it's so cool to see. And he's like been doing more like visual modeling. And I think we definitely need more of that in the dev world. So like just off the bat, I really like the hardware of the Surface Book, and it was really nice to use. Oh, let's talk about code stuff. Use Windows, but what do you use Windows on?
Yeah, so I have a desktop PC, so I don't have a fancy Surface Book like you know. But I have been running a Windows desktop for the last X amount of years. I've very rarely developed on it. Only recently have I been developing some side projects, almost in preparation for this show. To kind of see, what is it like to develop on Windows? So I bought a Windows because I'm a huge VR person, and you can't do VR on a Mac, unfortunately, right now. That's what I run. I have this massive 34-inch monitor right now, the ultra wide screen. We won't talk about it right now because there's no relevance to this.
I just got a new monitor too. Let's talk about it later.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
But I really, really like it. Like it's a curved screen.
Me too. I have an ultra wide curved.
I bet we have the same one.
It's probably true. Okay. let's jump into the tools about Windows. So there are a couple of gotchas when you jump into Windows at first.
Yeah.
You know, what I found when I moved from Mac to Windows is that I still rotate between the two. The biggest surprise for me that is there's not as many gotchas as you thought there would be.
Especially now because there is now Bash for Windows. Yes. That's underlying system in Windows 10.
Yes.
So you can turn that on. It takes like 5 minutes. It's just a couple of settings you have to turn on internally, and then you get Bash, which is a huge, huge, huge update for Windows for developers.
So I actually had an opposing viewpoint for that because I installed that. It installs like a little version of Linux inside of your computer. And my first attempt with Windows recently was like, hey, there's this new Bash for Windows, there's new Linux. I can do everything I was doing on my Mac on my Windows in this thing, but it's not that quite straightforward. It's still in beta mode, and there's still a bunch of bugs. You can't launch your Windows programs from that shell. So if you have like, so I use VS Code in my Windows, and I can't type in code to launch VS Code from the Bash shell. So that's kind of like
I've definitely done that.
Or maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Holy crap!
Let me double check real quick.
I think you're using Commander, not sure. Bash. Not
I am using Commander, but Commander, like when you install Bash, that's the underlying like subsystem.
Yeah. So there's two things running. So when you install, there's like a Git Bash and like a Commander, which installs like this.
And you can use Git Bash, like you can use Bash within Commander. Like,
yes.
That's not mutually exclusive.
Yes, correct. Sorry. So let's just kind of break this up real quick because I think we're saying a bunch of different things.
So the terminal, I've got to say, like, figuring out a terminal, by the way, I just double checked, and yes, I can launch Code or Atom from my terminal.
From Commander, though.
From Commander, but Commander is just a wrapper.
Yes. So there's like a bunch of new terminals on Windows, which is confusing, right? There's CMD, which is the default command prompt, right? And that thing...
Yeah, this is confusing.
That thing sucks so much. Sorry, Windows, but that thing is terrible. They're actually replacing it by default with PowerShell soon, but...
But PowerShell also, like, it's a separate terminal.
Yeah.
And PowerShell, like, running it in admin mode is, like, you have to, like, press a button, like, to get sudo access.
Yeah.
And it's not as... I really love the terminal specifically in Mac OS the most. Like my iTerm, my CSH setup is so nice.
Oh, so beautiful.
And I've been trying to find an equivalent to that in Windows, and the closest thing that I found was Commander running on Bash.
Yeah. So you're right. So there's Commander, there's PowerShell, and then there's Hyper and Commander, which are kind of the same thing, which are these terminal replacements on Windows.
You have to download those.
Inherently. You have to download them, and they give you like a Bash environment to work in, so you can your CD, your LS, all the commands you used to do on your Mac, but on Windows. And those are the best ways to work on Windows right now.
Those are the two best I found. Hyperterm, it's hyper.is, that's the link. And then Commander is cmder.net.
Yep.
And I personally like Commander more. I feel like there's more inherent features. It still doesn't completely replace all the things I had set up in CSH and iTerm.
Yeah, I completely agree. So Commander is probably your best bet now. Some of the built-in features, I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but it's it works well, right? It just works well. The one of the big things I miss from OS X is panes and tabs.
Yes, every time you open a new tab, like Command-T and Commander or Hyperterm, it starts a whole new session. And like, what is it, tmux, that you can just kind of throw a bunch of sessions within a single terminal and it's not taking as much memory. Every time you open a new tab in Commander, it's like, okay, what are your settings for this new session? And I didn't have to really deal with that in iTerm as much. Like, opening new tabs was faster.
Yeah. So that's kind of a sucky thing. And I think there's some workaround for that, but I don't know off the top of my head. But there's also a fifth option you can do, which is the new Bash on Windows shell, which is what I was talking about initially, which is this Linux subsystem that Windows 10 Anniversary Mode brought in, and you boot it up, and it's legitimately real Bash. It's actually like...
Right, but I have that, and I use Commander on top of that.
Right, but Commander is actually... Commander is a special thing on top of that. So
yeah, but if you open Commander and type Bash in Commander,
right,
then you can use that subsystem.
No, that's a different subsystem. It's a different wrapper. Like,
oh
yeah, so the Bash for,
this is confusing.
Yeah, the Bash for Windows is actually like a Linux emulator almost that's entirely separate from your Windows living on this thing.
To use Bash for Windows, the subsystem that we're talking about. Okay, so first of all, I have installed, I've used it, and it has a terminal that it comes with. You can only use it with that terminal.
Yeah, so that one is when you have to to set it up, you have to go into your like programs and features, you have to go into this Windows extra features, turn it on, it's a beta, it's in like this big drop down, and you reboot your computer and it's there. To run Commander, you don't need to do any of that. That just, Commander works out of the box.
What I was doing is I was running Commander and then I installed this Bash system and then I started using Bash via Commander, I thought, at least.
I think Commander is out of the box, but it'll give you Bash anyways.
Well, the story is there are a few different versions and systems of this, and like Windows, Microsoft as a company is trying to make development, like the developer experience, a lot easier on Windows, because historically it's just been very different and hard. And like, I think now the biggest difference is kind of some of the smaller things, like some of the commands aren't exactly one-on-one. Paths, most things when you install them, like if you install Git, you install Git for Windows, you can get that with Ubuntu bindings, like as an installation option. Program files is the biggest difference for me, like just like the location of all your file system stuff.
Yeah.
But me, like I used Windows 6 years ago, so it wasn't like that weird.
Yeah.
For me to remember that again.
Yeah, it's just, there's like, you know, like before, you know, I have all these like really nice terminal functions I have on Mac OS to kind of navigate the terminal. I have this thing called Z, which caches all the folders you go to. So I type in Z and the project name, and it goes anywhere in my hard drive to jump right there. I don't have that on Windows, so I have to type CD projects. know, blah, blah, blah.
And I have a bunch of aliases set up too. And I also like, I think it just kind of comes with ZSH where you don't have to type CD. Yeah. You just hit directories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there is tap completion with Commander,
yep.
With Bash. So that's really good. I think there are some things that will do these on Windows. I just haven't really found them yet.
Right, yeah. Beyond the terminal, though, I've actually found that my Windows developing experience is just fine. It's just the terminal, which was the big hiccup for me. The first thing I always recommend people get is this thing called Chocolaty.
Yes, I was going to bring that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Chocolaty is like the homebrew of Windows.
You need it. Like, you don't need it, but you need it. It's like you don't need homebrew, but you need homebrew.
But you need homebrew. Like, homebrew makes your life so much nicer on Mac, and in the same way, it makes your life so much easier on Windows.
Yeah, my note was like Chocolaty, super clutch.
Super clutch. Like it.
It's a package manager, and if you want to install anything, like if you want to install Yarn, like you can install it through Chocolaty. And the thing with that is you have to run PowerShell.
Yep.
And run it in admin mode to install anything, but you can just kind of search things on there. Like I think I installed a bunch of Ruby stuff that way.
Yeah, and you can actually move Chocolaty to your other ones as well. You just have to kind of customize your shells to run Chocolaty. Some of the things you can do with Windows, you can do it. It just takes a little bit of config. It's not immediately obvious. Beyond Chocolaty, the other one I really like using because I'm a Node developer first and foremost is NVM Windows. And so on my Mac, I had NVM, which is Node Version Manager. And then there's a wrapper for Windows called NVM Windows, which lets you do the same thing, which lets you jump between Node versions. And that was kind of my second big tool for Windows, NVM Windows.
Yeah, I use that as well. And that's like really, really helpful. That kind of brings me to my next kind of topic of conversation. Node development, JavaScript development, I feel like on Windows has been really easy and kind of straightforward one-on-one. RVM, like Ruby development, was a little bit more difficult for me. Setting up Ruby on Windows just like historically has been a little trickier, and I found it to be a little slower to run as well. So like that's something to kind of watch out for. I feel like when I was running JavaScript programs, I was running Node, I didn't feel any kind of difference in terms of lag or just like any kind of dev experience with the terminal. But with Ruby, I definitely felt a little bit of like, this is lagging and not really updating like I'm used to on my other system.
Yeah, I think Node is on the Node environment, they've been doing a recent push to like make it easier to dev on Windows. And so, yeah, I haven't found, yeah. So once I got over my distaste for Commander versus iTerm, developing Windows has been perfectly fine. I use Visual Studio Code on both Mac and Windows, and so the environment looks the exact same, really.
It does. And side note, I want to say that the terminal on VS Code is so nice. It's so nice.
Have you used it? I haven't used it on Windows.
Oh my gosh! So I hadn't discovered it before. Like, I don't know why I hadn't used it, but I was working on a Node project and I was using like the Node debug setup inside of
super nice.
VS Code, which is like really nice. Yeah. But it was in that pane. There's the terminal, and I opened it, and it looked like my other iTerm terminal. This is on my Mac when I initially used it.
Yeah.
And in my iTerm terminal is like customized, so there's a little unicorn on the side, and I use a bunch of emoji. So if I have like Git changes that aren't pushed yet, aren't saved and added, there's like a little write emoji, and everything transferred perfectly. And then like I hit the up arrow, and it showed my last command, and I was freaking out because it was saving all my ZSH history.
Yeah.
And I could do everything. I could do like the control R, like deep search.
Yep.
And it was all within the term, like within the terminal, within VS Code. It was just there, and it worked really well. I didn't have to have two windows. And it was in my text editor, and it was so cool.
Yeah, the terminal on VS Code is actually incredible. They do a lot of updates to that. The last January update pushed up some performance updates to the terminal in there. It's honestly lovely.
Yeah, so I'm like constantly back and forth between Atom and VS Code.
Just commit.
I think
just
this terminal.
Just commit.
The terminal has – I use both, honestly, for some different things. I use Atom for searching because the search is faster.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing like a deep search replacement for a couple of things. But VS Code for everything else, like the auto completions and stuff.
Yeah.
The terminal is so nice.
My other tool I've been using on Windows just came out recently, I believe, is Git Tower. And so I I'm a command line person most of the time, but whenever I have to do like merges with Git or any kind of complicated Git thing, I abandon the command line and head to a GUI, which is maybe not the power developer move, but I'm fine with it. And so there are a bunch of Git.
But Chris, I don't understand. When you have VS Code, it has a Git. Like,
I know, but I have like this
literal button.
I know it has sidebar. I'm a creature of habit, okay? And there's this thing I like. It's called Git.
Chris, press the button.
No, it's called Git Tower, right? It's called Git Tower, and it's amazing, all right? And it just released the Windows version, and it's great. And I love Git Tower. And so if you were a Git Tower person like me on OS X, which is the best GUI on OS X, it is now on Windows as well. It looks kind of Windowsy, which kind of sucks because I like the Mac OS version better. But there's a couple of Git stuff in Windows. So when you install Windows, you can install Git through Chocolaty once you install that. There's also a Git for Windows install file, and then there's a GitHub desktop, which some people use. But they would probably be wrong to use that, but that's fine.
Yeah, I installed... I think Git for Windows through Chocolaty.
Yep.
Git has been great. No issues there. Like, set your SSH key.
Yep.
Add it. You're good to go. I wanted to bring up a really cool app that I use all the time. What is it called?
It's a super cool. The coolest app. You've heard it before. Everybody knows it.
Oh, so it's called Snap. And... it's by Nurgo Software. I'll put the link in the show notes. So I use something called Spectacle on my Mac, which is really cool because it allows you to move your windows around just by using the keyboard, like organizes your windows, like half of the screen on the left or at the top. And so this is just exactly that for Windows. It gives you the same functionality and it has the same keys. And like key layout, you can also customize. So if you're not used to using the like control key all the way on the left of your keyboard, because on Mac, the command key is right next to your space bar. You can change that, like you can change that up and really customize things that way. I recently did like a keyboard shortcut where I did like, you know, like command shift 4 on a Mac will do a screenshot.
Yeah.
So there's a snipping tool on Windows that does the same thing, but it works a little differently and they don't have the same keyboard shortcut. So I just created the Windows Alt 4, which is like physically in the same space on my Windows. So that like transition was really nice. I really like the customization because I feel like Microsoft understands that developers want to customize things to suit their needs. And a lot of them are on Mac right now or using Linux. So they're really providing options for people to figure out a very comfortable workflow for themselves.
I was going to say that the built-in Windows window management is actually really good too. That was one of the big things that I used to say Mac was much better at, like managing multiple windows. But now if you hit the Windows key and left, right, up, down, whatever, it works really well. So like, you know, down is minimize, up is maximize, left is left screen, right is right screen, left and down.
Yeah, it does. It uses the halves of the screen.
Yeah.
And that works really well too. Sometimes I'm on a bigger screen.
Yeah, so I haven't used Snap before. I'll go check it out because I also use Spectacle on my Mac OS and I love the customization, as you were saying. So
yeah. The Windows key is also clutch. So like what I really like is how on Mac they kind of stole Alfred and they created Alfred, which is kind of like a system manager where you can like kind of search for files or applications by using command spacebar now in a Mac, and that's like in the latest operating system. But on Windows, you just press the Windows key and you get like Cortana. And I don't really use Cortana much, but it allows
you to search for
applications and documents. Yeah, I don't really use Cortana, but I do use just the key that allows you to search your documents. Like I'm lazy about that. If I want to open an app, I'm just gonna press the little Windows key and search it. There's this like at a glance view, which is nice for when you're doing like keyboard free stuff and just kind of doing the touch screen. I really just like drawing on this as well. So it's cool because I feel more creative. Like I've been doing all these tech diagrams lately. I don't know why. I really am enjoying creating visualizations of complex tech concepts. And doing that on the Surface Book has been nice. Like, it's been nice that I could just, like, kind of get my hands on the screen and, like, also have a full Illustrator and a full Photoshop and not just, like, a fake one on an iPad. So that's been cool, too.
It's one of those things that you don't realize how much, how different your workflow becomes when you can touch a screen, like, directly touch a screen. I remember when I first set up my mom has an old Windows laptop, like 2 years ago, Windows laptop, and, you know, it has all, like, most Windows laptops now, I feel, have touch screens past a certain, like, a price point. And when I first gave it to her, I was like, hey, you can just, you know, touch the screen to, like, launch your applications, to do things. And she was like, I will never do this because who touches their screen? And now I watch her use her computer and she's using almost always her touch screen. And to the point that when I gave her, like, my Mac and she tried using it, she, like, touched the screen and it wouldn't work. And she's like, what? Why does this work? And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but the system I have been promoting for the last 10 years doesn't support touch screens right now.
It makes a big difference. I feel like I find myself using it, like, half and half of the time.
Yeah.
It's really good. There's also a couple of other customizations that you have to do on Windows, like you had to do on Mac, like setting up show hidden files, those sorts of things that, like, normal people who aren't developers don't need.
There was one gotcha I ran into a while ago. It's not as big of an issue anymore, but if you're, like, NPM install, if you're on NPM, this is a bigger issue on NPM 2 than NPM 3. But if you're still on NPM 2 and NPM install, what happens is that the node modules folder gets super nested. And Windows out of the box has this max file path file length, or length. And so in NPM 2 and node 4 and before, you'd run into this issue where everything would break down because the nesting was too deep. I hit this issue before and it bugged the crap out of me, which is why I'm talking about it now. There are two ways to resolve this. One is to upgrade to NPM 3, which solves all your issues.
Windows now, we'll probably have NPM 3. Yeah, why aren't you upgraded if you have the option?
Because a lot of people are still in Node 4 for their work, right? And so Node 4 ships with NPM 2, so you may not be in NPM 3 there. Node V5.
I feel like people are switching rapidly, especially for ES6.
Yeah, I feel people are getting much better at it, but there's some people who are still in that NPM 4, NPM 2 train. So if you run in that, even on Node 4 does support NPM 3, you just have to set it up that way. Or Windows 10, the Anniversary Edition, the one that's currently on, has an option to remove that max path limit. And so we can link that instructions in the show notes. Remove that, and that problem will be solved too. Anyways.
Yeah, small bug. Or Yarn. No, you can also use Yarn.
Or Yarn. Yeah, Yarn solves all problems, as we've mentioned a couple times before.
Yeah, okay. I think that we're kind of over time again. But basically, Windows has been really easy to develop for JavaScript things, easy to set up in general. A few gotchas that we kind of talked about in the show. I guess I'll be talking about it more now that I'm working with both Windows and Mac. It's really nice to get that experience too, because I can test all of my things, like, on Edge just natively.
Yeah.
And Edge is really fast, like, as a browser.
Edge is nice. I
haven't needed to go to Chrome for anything yet.
You're not on Chrome right now?
No, not on my Surface Book.
Oh, interesting. I
have been trying on purpose to stay off of it because I know that I use Chrome for development normally.
Yeah.
And I want to try out what it's like to not be on it. I want to test out all these websites not on it. Edge is missing a few features, like more stylistic CSS things. Like, blend modes is very much a thing that I'm into, and they don't exist on Edge. So, like, seeing that difference is kind of interesting. And, like, I'm doing this on purpose. Like, I want to kind of put myself out of my comfort zone to test out new solutions.
Yeah.
So, no, I have not installed Chrome.
That's very brave. But props to you.
But I have my other system. Yeah. So, like, safety net. Yeah. So you'll be hearing more about this, I guess, kind of like here and there. I'm super happy to talk about it because a lot of our users are on Windows.
Yep.
And we're here for you. Like, we hear you. So now, like, as I've been, like, kind of reading through docs and writing up docs for, like, my company, like, I include any weirdnesses on, like, differences for Windows.
Yeah.
Which it hasn't been that much, but just, like, kind of when you have to use Chocolatey instead of
Homebrew.
Like, Homebrew. Yeah. And, yeah, like, bundler stuff.
Yeah.
So
All right, Windows. Also,
yeah.
Other benefit Windows is that gaming so much better. Also, VR. All right. Anyways,
the creative things. Yeah. So thanks for joining us. Thank you, Microsoft, for sending me a Surface Book.
But not me.
Oh my god.
It's fine.
Please send one to Chris.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll just be salty forever.
All right. Chris. Thank you all for joining us. This has been a fun show, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.